And anybody got a song this morning? If not, open your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I appreciate, Jesse, I appreciate you leading. And it's hard enough to lead sometimes with music, and it's really hard to lead without music sometimes. And I appreciate you doing that. That's helped tremendously since Brother Porter's been down. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We touched this a time or two on some things, and I want to, I just want to take a verse and look at a thought this morning. We have a lot of issues going about. In this land, we evaluate judges. Some judges are good, some judges are not so good. There's a great divide politically about what you want out of the judges. You can have a judge and you can vote one way and look for judges that are consistent with the tries to define what the Constitution means and stays with the Constitution. Then you have others who tries to write laws from the bench, even though Congress hasn't, and they try to, they don't try to interpret the Constitution, but they try to intermingle their political outlook upon the definition of what the law should mean or what they want to make pretense that it means. We have issues, and that's why elections are so important for our country. We have elections, and we have to decide which side we're going to vote for. Are we going to want judges that tries to keep things in perspective with biblical things that God has taught us? When we vote liberal judges in and we allow liberal candidates in, they bring in liberal policies. A good, for instance, is the state of Kentucky. Now, some people may like it, some people may not. The past governor made a lot of enemies with the Teachers Association. Now, I'm sure many of them was instrumental in voting him out. And he said a lot of things and did a lot of things I didn't agree with. But then we vote another governor in. Got a picture the other day with a bunch of drag queens. One of our congressmen stood up and said something about it. They didn't crucify the governor. The press crucified him. And I don't care who you are. I don't want to vote for a man to rule my state that surrounds himself with a bunch of drag queens and tries to tell me that I'll accept it and my children ought to be taught that, to accept that. Now, of course, we've got the same thing here in Somerset. Pushing, being pushed upon us, being shoved down our throats. And you know why they have the liberty? Because for too long this country voted in liberal judges. And back in the 70s, that's when we got prayer taken out of school. That's when we got where we couldn't mention the name of Jesus. And this grave definition of separation of church and state. That's where also we got Roe versus Wade. You go back to the history of it. They drugged that woman through that. Now she's saved, and now she's voicing against any abortions. She said it's wrong. She wished she never let the attorneys use her during that process. But now we're going on 60 million babies that have been killed in the womb because some liberal judges said it's okay to do that. The same thing with all these other issues that comes down the pipe. Look, if you would, in chapter 4 and verse number 8. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. This is Paul speaking. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, he's talking about the fact he's fixing to die. He's done what he thought needed to be done. And he said, therefore, I'm anxious to see, because I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's going to do all those things at the end that he promised me. And so Paul here is looking forward to the time when he meets Christ. He said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But I want you to zero in on what he said. He said, which the Lord, the what? Righteous judge. And so this morning, I want you to understand there is a righteous judge. Now, Brother Junior taught this morning during Sunday school, he read and he was talking about judging. And where the Bible says, judge not. And boy, you have a lot of people tell you, judge not. You shouldn't be judging. But let me tell you what, and it's right. We should not judge ourselves and judge others. But the righteous judge, Jesus, is the Word. The Word is truth. John 12:48 says that Jesus said, I came not to judge the world, but the word that I've spoken, it shall judge you in the last day. The thing that judges you is the Word. When the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, it's not up for debate whether anybody wants to pass a law in this state or not. Whether it's right with God to steal, it's not right to steal. The Word has done judged it. It's final. I don't have to look for 9 people on the Supreme Court to make a decision about abortion. The Word's done judged it. And I don't care whether it's you, me, my daughter, your daughter. It doesn't matter. If it happens and they kill a baby, they've killed the baby. Not according to me, according to the Word. And so therefore, we are to study the Word to rightly divide the word of truth. And so therefore, when you judge a matter, you're not judging someone. You're letting the Word judge the matter. When you are able to take what the Bible teaches and you're able to stand and say, this is truth, whether you or I agree upon it, whether we go along with it, the truth will judge you in the last day. Because he is the righteous judge. Amen? Hebrews, it reminds us in chapter 9, in verse 27, it is appointed a man once to die, and after that what? We will face the righteous judge. We will face the righteous judge. Let me show you a couple places where the righteous judge is going to judge. Follow with me in the Bible real quickly. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, saved people. Even though some of these people wasn't doing what they should have been doing, they were still saved. The church was, as a whole. Look in chapter 5 and verse number 10. And yes, there were some lost people in the congregation, as there will be all. But he's talking to saved people. Verse 10, he says, for we, he included himself, include you if you're saved, include me if we're saved. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he had done, whether it be what? The judgment seat of Christ is for saved people. It's not judging you whether you're saved. If you're there, you're saved. But it's going to judge you in what you've done after you've been saved. Whether it's good, whether it's been bad. Somebody said, well, you don't know my heart. The righteous judge will. He'll know exactly why you did what you said and why what you did what you did. Sometimes people say something, and you know that they said it in spite. And they say, oh, I did it because I just loved them. I wanted baloney. You can sense that sometimes. But I'm going to tell you what. The Bible says when you stand before a righteous judge, your secrets of your heart will be made known. They'll be manifest. Look, if you would, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talking about the same event. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice in verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work, every man, talking that same people, shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Is it going to be for his glory? Was it for your glory? Was it for the earthly and worldly things, or was it for heavenly things? Look in verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive what? A reward. If you work for the Lord, you work for a reward. Look in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall what? Suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He's not going to hell. But you know what's going to happen? He's going to suffer loss. Somebody said, well, I don't care. If I get up there, you'll care when you're up there. You say, what's my loss? When everybody else is taking what they've earned, when crowns and laying them at the feet of Jesus and say, here, Lord, you deserve it. Even though I earned it, I thank you for it, but you deserve it, because if it was not for you, I would not even have it. And so all the crowns will be cast upon him and his feet. And you'll be standing back there ashamed of his appearing. You got nothing. Other people's going up there and laying their crowns, and you're sitting there saying, he's going to look at you. Where's your crown? I saved you. What did you do? The righteous judge. Everything we did. Somebody said, well, I sing for the Lord. That day will declare whether you're singing for the Lord or singing for yourself. Somebody said, well, I preach to help you. That day will declare whether it's preaching from the heart to help somebody or trying to cut somebody because you had something against them. Somebody said, well, a preacher, I tried to help them by telling them and trying to instruct them what to do. That day will declare whether that's true or not. That day will declare everything. You'll either get it or you won't. Good, bad. It'll all be made known. And you know what? There'll be a righteous judge that'll make that decision. Be no arguments there. You say, preacher, you don't know my heart, but you may be right, but the righteous judge is going to know your heart. Everything you said, everything you did, it's going to be thrilling or threatening to stand before Jesus when this life's over. Going to be another judgment the righteous judge is going to do. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 17. I could take you some other places, but I'm not going to take you. You got that. Chapter 17. Notice verse number 1. The Bible says, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me. This is John saying to me, come hither, and I will show thee what? The judgment of the great whore that sitteth on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made to drunk with her wine of her fornication. And so he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet beast, full of names of blaspheming, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and colored, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness and fornication. And upon her head was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Listen to me a minute. Some don't like this either, but it's true. This great whore is a pretense church. She's one that pretends to be the bride, but she's a whore. She sold herself out. She sold herself out for the riches of the world. She carries a gold cup in her hand. She makes everybody drink out of that gold cup. She drinks it, they drink out of that gold cup, and they think that they're doing communion with the Lord, and they're drinking abominations, filthiness. You read the history of this a woman that sits upon the seven hills. You read the mystery of Babylon. It started with Nimrod over in Genesis chapter number 10 and 11. And what happened was Nimrod, his mother, began a religion of Babylon. And the religion of Babylon carried all the way through the Bible. It was religion where they worshiped the son through the mother. Just like they worshiped Jesus through Mary. And what happened is, she said, that, and if you notice, they like to decorate themselves with gold and pearls and all these decorations when they stand before people. You say, well, who are you talking about? Talking about the Church of Rome. And if you read the history of the Church of Rome when she came into existence in 313 AD, and you read the history of how she come about, what she did was she formed government and religion together, and then she began to persecute the real saints of God. That's why the Bible says she made herself drunk with the blood of the saints. And what they did, if you ever read the Trail of Blood, you'll understand how many churches came out of her through protesting, and yet they carried with them some of her teachings on works of salvation. And so here the Bible says that when the time's over with, God's using her right now because she is a false doctrine. She's teaching it. And somebody said, well, preacher, why don't you allow the Catholics to come in? Because me and the Catholics are on two different sides. I do not believe what they believe. I do not celebrate. I do not try to come to Christ through Mary. Mary had to be saved just like anybody else. I do not believe Mary was of an immaculate birth. I do not believe that Mary can hear prayers. I do not believe she is an intercessor to Jesus, as they taught in the Babylonian religion. And then when Jesus comes back to this earth, at the end of the tribulation time, he will take this great whore and he will judge her for what she is. And she will be destroyed. Therefore, you need to be careful. Somebody said, it don't matter where you go as long as you go. That sounds good, but it's not right. You say, who are you? I'm nobody. But the righteous judge is done judge those things in his word. And therefore, what they do is they come, drink out of this little cup. They design people to be intercessors. They want you to call them father. You know what the righteous judge wrote? Call no man father. In other words, you call no man your spiritual father. You say, aren't you my spiritual father? No, I'm not. Except in the way in which Paul used it, in the ministry, Paul said Timothy was his son. In other words, he brought him along spiritually. But nowhere does he teach that you go to another man and he's your intercessor between God. There's only one father that you have when you get saved, other than your natural father, and that's not what he's talking about. That's your heavenly father. Therefore, when you pray, Jesus said, this is how you pray. He gave us an example of how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Not in a booth somewhere. Not where you go and they tell you, well, listen, just go say seven Hail Marys. You're forgiven, my son. They don't have power to forgive sins. It's a mockery. And let me ask you this. Why do you look right now you have separation of church and state. You hear that? You ever hear that talked about here? Every time something happens with a church that's preaching the word, you know what they say? Separation of church and state. But you know what they do? They allow the Catholic Church to have a seat at the United Nations. Did you know that? You know when he comes into this country, you know who pays all his bills? We do. With tax dollars. You know why? The kings of the earth have made themselves drunk on this. All her doctrines. You know why they started the doctrine of infant baptism? So they could see you when you're young before you get old enough to decide for yourself. You know why they tried to keep the word of God away from everybody? Used to, it was against the law to have a Bible by their church. You know what they do? And by the way, the word Catholic means universal. And you know what they do? They catch you with the word of God to kill you. You know why? They didn't want anybody interpreting the word of God but them, because they wanted to indoctrinate you with their doctrines. You believe that being saved and being added to the church is when you're a baby? Show it to me by the truth. Show me where you get between heaven and hell and get prayed up one and from purgatory, prayed up or down from purgatory by the amount of money that you want to pay and get it done quickly. Show me that in the Bible. You can't do it. You know why it's not in there? Those are damnable doctrines of hell. And so therefore, the great judge, the righteous judge, shall judge the great whore one of these days. Look on down, chapter 19. Chapter 19. Look, if you would, in chapter 19, verse number 11. It's when Jesus comes back, he said in verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he sat upon it, who's called Faithful and Truth, and Righteous, he doth what? Judge and what? Make war. Look on down. Look if you would on down in verse number 19. And I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and the false prophet. False prophet is the one that opposed the Antichrist, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You know what he defeats them with? His word. When the righteous judge comes, he just speaks. You know, whenever they come to take him in the Garden of Gethsemane, all those soldiers, that group of soldiers, they came, asked where Jesus was. He said, I am he. They fell back to the ground. You know why? The power of his word. The word's going to judge you. And so therefore, when he comes, the beast and the false prophet and all the armies of the earth are going to say, let's get him. He's going to speak, and they're going to be destroyed. You know why? He's a righteous judge. And no one's going to stand against his word. You know why he created everything? Let there be. His word created things. And no creature is going to change his word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You can try to rewrite the Bible. You can use all kinds of phony manuscripts. You can do everything you want to do. But when it's all said and done, the word will stand as is written. And it will judge you. Last but not least, while you're in Revelation, turn on over to chapter 20. Verse number 11. This happens at the end of the reign of Christ. When the devil is taken up, verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented when? Day and night for what? You say, devil's going to give him a fight. All he's got to do is speak. Got to speak. When he speaks, the devil does whatever he says to do. He'll be cast in the lake of fire. This will be the end of any temptation, the end of any lost person. Everybody is saved will be saved throughout eternity from that point. Some will have their righteous bodies already. Some will go into the new heaven, new earth from the reign. But look here. Everybody who's lost will be lost forever. Verse number 11 begins to tell about that judgment that they're going to have to deal with when they're lost. Look in verse 11. John said, I saw a great white throne. Reason why it's great is because of what's fixing to happen. The reason why it's white is because it's purity. The righteous judge. Look here. I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You say, why are there going to be a new heaven and a new earth? Because when Jesus sits on this judgment of the great white throne, the old heaven and old earth are going to run away from him. Because it's going to be such a terrible judgment that he's fixing to endure here upon these people. Look here in verse 12. I saw the dead, that's lost people. Listen, you have life. When you die, you're dead. If you have eternal life, death has no bearing upon you. Your name will be in the book of life. But when you die, you no longer. When you die lost without Christ, you no longer are alive. You're dead. Then you will have to face a second death. It talks about it. Let's look here in verse 12. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is a book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. You say, why do they have to deal with their works? Jesus told some from Capernaum, where he taught and he lived and he walked among them, he said, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will be for you. You know why? They had a lot more opportunity. To whom much is given, much will be required. Therefore, when they're there, listen, if you're at this judgment, it's because you're lost and you're damned and you're going to hell forever. Period. You say, can't you make that any nicer? Why would I want to? I don't want nobody going there, and I want you to understand it's a terrible thing to stand before God and be lost and have to go and face this judgment. And so here the Bible says, look, notice what it says. It says that they were judged according to the works. In other words, opportunities they had, they're going to be lost, but they're going to have to stand and give account of God, and they're going to say, Lord, I did. And they say, the Bible says, Jesus said, in that day many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, we not prophesy in thy name, cast out devils, do many wonderful works. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Look in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead that's in it. What's that? That's where the bodies are. Why are the bodies important? Because they will be reunited with the souls that's in hell. Look here. And the sea gave up the dead which is in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead in them. Where's death? Death is the earth, where they're dead on the earth. So what they're going to do is they're going to be given a body that's going to last forever, but it's going to last forever in the torments of hell. They're never going to perish. And the sea gave up the dead in them, and death and hell delivered up dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to the work. Now let me say this. The same way that we got to get rid of this old body to go in eternal life and have eternal life, and we'll have a glorified body, they will have a body that will endure the flames and torments of hell. Now, I believe, and I'm not going to get into it, but the Bible says where he's talking about the worm dieth not. I believe that's the worm. Some people say, well, I think that's their memory, but the soul has a memory. Your soul's not going to die. You're going to remember. You're going to have all the affections. You're going to have all the things that you have. But your body will never die, will never perish. Thessalonians tells us, Paul told us that it will be everlasting torment, everlasting fire. Jesus said that the fire will never be quenched. Look on, if you will, in verse 14. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This liberal crowd preaching from the pulpits, liberal churches, doesn't want to think about hell, doesn't want to preach on hell, pretends like hell doesn't exist. They decided that it's best just to say good things about everybody and never say nothing negative. Positive preaching. One day they'll figure out hell is the real. But folks, the sad part about it is you can't turn around and change it. That's why you better find the word today. Listen, I preach things sometimes that I don't like to preach. But it's not my job to write it and rewrite it. It's my job to preach it. And sometimes what I preach cuts this fella, probably as much or more than you. But again, I don't have a choice. If God leads me to a passage, I preach it. And if it cuts me, if it cuts you, if it cuts him, it doesn't matter. And who it applies to, it doesn't matter, because everybody needs to heed the word. Because one day the righteous judge shall sit, and all those lost people be brought before them. And they'll see their works and all their, I don't know how he's going to do it. And then they will be cast in the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever and ever with the devil. I had one guy tell me, I'm just going to go down there and party with the devil. Did you notice what he said about the devil? He's tormented forever and ever. He's going to be in more torments than you are. He ain't going to have no time to party with you. He's going to be in misery and pain and crying out in anguish. That's why today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Folks, there's a lot of different type of judges, good ones and bad ones. But there is one righteous judge. And every person in this building, and every person in the world, and every person that's ever been born will face that righteous judge. Is appointed man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. Amen. Let's get a song, if you would. Page 3.